Well, let's get into the Word. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament is really one of the most beautiful books. You know, it's amazing when you read the book of Daniel and you see the testimony of his life. I mean, in the book of Daniel, you don't even find much in regards to sin. You don't find a lot in regards to his life ever doing anything wrong. He's a beautiful testimony of a faithful servant of God, one that loves the Lord and serves the Lord wholeheartedly, even in the midst of adverse circumstances. But I want to share with you a message entitled, Don't Give Up. Don't give up. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to relay your heart to your people this morning. For Lord, when we are in prayer, you are truly on the move. And so I pray, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, your heart and your mind, that you'd help us to understand what you are doing. And I pray most of all that you would give us the grace to hang in there and not give up when we are in prayer. So be with us now, we pray. Bless the preaching of your word, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Don't give up. You can put as a sub-note, don't give up in your prayers. Amen. I want to express to you today through three different examples how that when you and I, when we enter into prayer, God is on the move through our prayers. That when you get on your knees before God, you aren't wasting your time. That when you humble yourself before the living God, God Almighty is moving on your behalf. And even though in the natural we won't always see it, I'm here to tell you that God is moving through and in your prayers. And so I want to show it to you in three different examples. First, in the life of Daniel. I want to show it to you in the life of Peter, and then I want to show it to you in the life of Paul. In Daniel chapter 10, please turn there, you're going to see that Daniel has purposed in his heart to seek the face of God. Another way to say that is he began to pray. God was revealing some things to his heart, and so he began to pray about it. And look at chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. It troubled him. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was in mourning 3 full weeks. So Daniel is troubled by something that has been revealed to him. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of war, a lot of things that he's seen in this message that he received. And so he begins to go into a time of prayer, and that amount of time is 3 full weeks. And it says, verse 3, "I ate no tasty food, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." This is the portion of scripture where we get the teaching or the understanding of what is called the Daniel fast. Anybody heard of the Daniel fast before? You know, there is the strict fast when you fast for 3 days, no food and a little water. Anybody ever done that one before? The Daniel fast is more of a long-term fasting, and instead of giving up food altogether, you just eat bland food. You'll notice it says, "No tasty food, no meat or wine entered my mouth." That means he wasn't eating steaks. That means he wasn't going to Sonic and eating a supersonic with cheese. Man, it's been a long time since I've eaten one of those, but that's beside the point. It wasn't tasty food. It was bland. It even says he drank no wine. That means in our day, he wasn't cracking open a Pepsi or a Sprite or something tasty. It was all bland. It was bland just to keep you alive, food. It's like bread and water. You all hear what I'm saying? He's burdened in his heart and he's fasting and he's praying this kind of fast for 3 full weeks. But I want you to read with me verses 8 through 12 and look what happens. It says, "Therefore," this is verse 8, "I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. And my countenance grew deathly pale, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. While I heard the sound of his words, then I was in deep sleep on my face, with my face toward the ground. But then a hand touched me, verse 10, which set me on my knees and on the palms of my hands, and he said to me, O Daniel. Oh, don't you just like that? They knew exactly who he was. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you now. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then verse 12 says, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand this and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Wow. This angel is there ministering to Daniel, and he sends something so powerful that helps you and me to remember that when we are in prayer and praying about specific things in our lives, that even though we don't see the result instantaneously, God has been on the move since the very beginning. But this angel says clearly to Daniel in verse 12, he says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand this and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Now the Bible says that when the angel touched him, he says, you're a man greatly beloved. And this is true. Daniel was a godly saint, a godly man in the Old Testament day, a godly prophet. He was beloved of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, every one of you that has received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are just as beloved in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus, just as much as Daniel was and is. Do you all hear what I'm saying? The Christian is beloved of the Lord. God looks at you and he says, this is someone in whom I am well pleased, because you don't stand in your own righteousness. You stand in the righteousness of Christ Jesus and that alone. And because of the righteousness of God in you through Christ, you have been made his beloved. You are the apple of his eye. And the moment that Daniel began to humble himself before God and pray, God heard his words. And so I'm here to tell each and every one of you not to give up in your prayers. I don't know what it is that you are praying about, but when you begin to pray, God is listening. Even though it took 3 weeks, God answered his prayer. Amen. God heard him and God answered. Turn to chapter 9 real fast. I want you to see it again. As Daniel is praying, look what happens here. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21. It's another revelation that God's about to give him. But look at verse 21. It says this. Indeed, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or the evening sacrifice. Let's read through 23. It says, he informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. Notice that. At the beginning of your supplications, that's another word for prayer, to supply or to offer supplication. Amen? It's asking God for things. And it says, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. In the same way we saw in chapter 10, we see it here in chapter 9. That at the very beginning of Daniel's prayers and supplications before God, God was listening to his words. And here again we see those words that he's a man that is greatly beloved. And what I want you to understand, and you must understand this deeply in your hearts, is that through Jesus Christ you are his beloved. The Bible says that right now we are seated in heavenly places in the Beloved. And so in the same way that Christ is the Beloved of God, so are you, because you are in Christ Jesus by faith. And so because you are the Beloved of God, I want you to get into your heart, your spirit, that God is listening to your cry. There may be needs that only God can answer in your life right now, and I'm here to tell you, God will answer. I know in my own life and in the life of my own family, God has given to us promises, and I know God is going to fulfill them, even though some of them seem long in coming. The vision will not tarry, the scripture says. God has given the promise that He will answer our prayers. Amen? I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Let's look at Peter here. To be honest, it's really not Peter specifically, although Peter is involved. But turn to Acts chapter 12. The book of Acts chapter 12, and I want you to see something that is happening. James, the apostle, has been put to death. He's the first of the apostles to die a martyr's death, and the people are excited about it, and Herod wants to kill Peter too. But look at chapter 12, verse 5, it says this, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church prayed to God without ceasing for him." Peter was apprehended. He was taken to prison. They were planning to kill him. But the church didn't sit idly by and watch. They began to pray. And the church began to cry out to God. And as they were meeting in a particular house, they began to cry out to God and believe God for Peter's deliverance. Then look at verse 12, skipping over. It says, "Realizing this, as Peter was released," you can read the story afterwards, as he was supernaturally let go and released out of prison through the intervention of angels. He didn't even realize till the very end that this was literally taking place. He thought he was seeing a vision. But verse 12 says this, "Realizing this," this is Peter, "he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark." This is John Mark. John Mark was the writer of the Gospel of Mark. "He came to Mark's mother's house where many were gathered together." What does it say they were doing here? They were praying. "And as Peter knocked at the door of the porch, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, from joy she did not open the door, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the door." Why didn't she open the door? You ever wondered? I mean, she got all excited. "Oh, he's outside." And she takes off telling everybody before she opens the door. Anyways, it says, "They said to her, 'You're insane.' But she insisted that it was really so. So they said, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Motioning to them with his hand to be quiet, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go and tell these things to James and to the brothers.' Then he departed and went to another place." The church was crying out on the behalf of Peter. And as they were praying incessantly, as they were praying with all of their hearts together there at this house, while they were praying, an angel was setting Peter free. And that's what I want you to understand. You see, in Daniel's story, since the moment his words were coming out of his mouth, God was working on the answer. Amen. And you can see the very same thing happening here with the church praying for Peter. They began to pray about this. Pray about Peter. "Lord, set him free. Lord, do whatever you can do. Move miraculously." And they're crying out to God. And while they're praying, an angel is sent from God. The Bible says that the angel hit him on the side to wake him up. He was probably there snoring between those prison guards. Amen? Probably was. I probably would have been. I mean, I know I snore. He probably did too. What do you all think? So he's there probably tired. And the Bible says he was asleep. The angel woke him up, pushed him, woke him up, jerked him, shook him, something. And the Bible says that he woke up and thought he was seeing a vision. He's on his way out. The doors are opening of their own accord. The chains fall off without a key. Amazing. All of that while there are people gathered at Mary's house praying. And they're still praying when he's knocking at the door. And so what I'm here to tell you is don't give up in your prayers. But the moment that you go on your knees, don't ever think that God is giving to you a deaf ear. He is listening. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. Saul, who would later become known as Paul, was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church in that area. He even had the authority to take some to prison. And on his way there, he was knocked to the ground as he saw a vision of Jesus. Verse 5 says, as Paul would say, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads or the pricks." He was trembling and astonished. Verse 6 says, and he said, "Lord, what will you have me do?" And the Lord said, "Rise up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The scripture makes clear later on that Paul hadn't eaten, and Paul began to pray. Paul, when he was led by hand into the city of Damascus, would there begin to cry out to God, having seen such an amazing vision, having heard the voice of Jesus himself, being led there by hand because he is blind, in that place begins to pray. And we know that because of the following verses. Look at verses 10 through 12. It says this: "A disciple named Ananias was in Damascus, the same city that Paul is in. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the straight street and inquire at Judas's house for someone named Saul of Tarsus, for he is,'" what does the scripture say? "He is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may see again or receive his sight." Paul is crying out to God with his blindness. He's calling out to God, and in his prayer he even is seeing a vision of Ananias coming to lay his hand on him and to give him back his sight. And the scripture says that as God is speaking to Ananias, he says, "Go to this particular place, through this street, to this house. There is a man named Saul of Tarsus. And I want to tell you something, Ananias. I see him there. And you know what he's doing? He's praying." Not only does God hear your words when you get on your knees and call out to God as a child of his, he also sees you there on your knees. As he's there crying out to God, God is speaking to Ananias as well as showing Paul a vision at the same time. Isn't that amazing? He's speaking to Paul and saying, "Someone's going to come and pray for you that you'd receive your sight." And at the same time, God is talking to Ananias because Ananias says, "I know this guy. This guy has been sent to persecute us." And he says, "Don't worry, don't go, don't be afraid. He is going to be a servant of mine. He is going to bear my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the sons of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." All this to say, God hears your prayers. Don't give up. Some of you have been praying for a long time about certain things. Don't stop. When the devil comes around and says to you that God isn't listening, don't believe those lies. From the moment you first set your heart to begin praying, God has heard your prayers, and the answer is forthcoming. God will give you the grace and the strength to wait, but just hold on and don't give up. He is going to answer your prayers. He will never be late. He will always be on time. And so this morning, the Lord placed it upon my heart to remind you, as well as even myself, not to give up in our prayers. Don't give up. Sometimes the circumstances around the person or things you are praying about look impossible. And you wonder, Lord, how? But in our humanity, in our finite mind, we will question. But God is not limited by our limitations. He is Almighty God. So He is on the move. You believe God. Amen. Hang in there and believe God. Don't give up. Keep on praying. He's going to help you through it. Amen. Let's stand.